Welcome, everybody, to the F1 Feast from the Filibuster Freestyle, presented by, I'm not sure, actually presented by Drilling Threes. More on that in a second. What are we talking about today? We're talking about the Chinese Grand Prix 2024. We're talking about several things, the one take that I haven't heard yet from the other podcasts that are in this space. Lewis Hamilton starts 18th, finishes, I believe, 9th or 8th. I'll confirm. Either way, was he sandbagging? Is he slipping? Is it a little bit of both? Or is it neither nor? That's coming up on the other side of the theme song. But first, give my friends at Drilling Threes a follow, at Drilling Threes. Three different acts, one band. There's an acoustic act. There's the flagship cover band act with jams from the 80s all the way through the 2010s. And then there's the long-awaited idea coming to fruition, which is Drilling Threes is taking the hip-hop inventory from its top 40 cover band, and Drilling Threes is now rolling out a hip-hop tribute band focusing on mainly 90s and early 2000s hip-hop, but with some 80s and some teens, you know, 2010s, 20-teens, whatever you want to call them, as well. So you're talking about 35 years of hip-hop gold in the hip-hop tribute act, plus the flagship act that's been around for 21-plus years in terms of top 40 covers, plus the acoustic act of jams from the 70s through today. You're just not going to beat it. So give them a follow on Instagram, at Drilling Threes, or if you want to book them from a private party, I think I said from a private party. If you see them at a private party and you want to book them from that, feel free. If you want to book them for a private party, also DM them at Drilling Threes on Instagram. Or if there's a venue in your city or town that you think Drilling Threes would be good for, again, DM the band and they can see if they can make that a reality. Here comes the theme song. Talking Lewis Hamilton hot takes, a couple others, including the Stroll family. That's right. Someone's got to say it.
Filibuster, filibuster freestyle. Filibuster, filibuster.
Watch out for the filibuster. Filibuster, freestyle. Filibuster, freestyle. It's the filibuster freestyle.
Filibuster, freestyle. Freestyle.
All right, the theme song is in the books, and as I alluded to, Lewis Hamilton starts the day in 18th place. It's a action-packed race. Three cars don't finish. Lewis gets as high, he might have even gotten higher than 8th, but he was as high as 8th in the final laps, ended up in 9th, gets the 2 points. His teammate George Russell only comes in 6th, and I think Russell started somewhere, ballpark around 6th, top 8, top 6. So Lewis really made the most of his day, but the story continues to be that his qualifying is subpar. His results thus far are subpar. And obviously he's going to Ferrari next year. So you're asking, well, are they giving him a bad car? Well, I mean, if he was able to drive through the field to catch up with the other midfield teams at 9th, then the answer is probably no. Are they giving him a bad car for qualifying, and or is the Mercedes kind of a bad qualifying car? I think the answer is the second, which is it's not a great qualifying car here in 2024. Hasn't been great for Russell either. Russell's been doing better. But I guess the real question becomes, what are we going to expect from Lewis in the Ferrari in 2025, which is the final year of this regulation set? And it seems like Ferrari is now clearly, at most tracks, the second best qualifying car and the second fastest car, with McLaren having a little something to say with that, but certainly not Mercedes and certainly not Aston Martin having a legitimate claim to being the second fastest car on the grid. So I don't really know. I mean, Lewis obviously is approaching 40 years old. He's the oldest driver on the grid, I believe, these days. Where does that put him for next year? And it's like, it's a car capable of winning races, and I certainly think I'm going to see Lewis on the podium and or on the top step of the podium in 2025. But I'm not sure we're going to see Lewis like as a top two driver anymore, only for the fact that in both 2022 and now so far in 2024, it seems like his own teammate George Russell, who is talented, has got a leg up. So I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think he's sandbagging, but I also don't think he's giving it his all. But I also think he still got it. But he obviously isn't the best driver in the world anymore. I think that's Max, because Checo Perez in that Red Bull is not always the second best driver on the grid. But Max, unless his car malfunctions, is pretty much always the first best driver on the grid. Part of that's the car, and a little bit of that is Max, or vice versa. But the bottom line is, the right driver in the right car, as Lewis used to be in that Mercedes, and as he was with McLaren 1 year as well, you know, an all-time driver is going to be in the top one or two in the right car. That's Max. That's Lewis in the old Mercedes. Will that be Lewis in the Ferrari next year? I'm not sure. And part of that's actually going to be on Ferrari too. So I think it's a wait and see. But the other hot take I have, I'm going to keep it short and sweet today. Lance Stroll crashes into Danny Ric during a freaking safety car. First reaction is to blame Danny Ric for being an idiot stepping on the brakes, while every other car in front of both of them were also stepping on the brakes, but all of them managed to not smash into the person in front of them. Lance Stroll was the one person who couldn't do that. So while his default was to call somebody else the idiot, at least from a self-awareness standpoint, Lance, you are the idiot. But I'll say it, because we are an independent podcast, and unlike Missed Apex, who has a huge audience and huge relevancy, and I love their pod, we don't hear at F1 Feast. So I'll say it, and probably say it to the minuscule amount of people who will listen to this pod. And this isn't necessarily me trying to tell you to forward your friend so it gets to Lawrence Stroll's desk, because he won't care, because he's a moron. And that's the thing. For as smart of a business guy as he is, continuing to employ, in quotes, his son, Lance Stroll, as an F1 driver on a team he owns is not only the height of nepotism, the height of failing upwards, the height of entitlement, but it's also bad business for a guy who's Mr. Business, Mr. Tough Guy Business Guy. Lawrence Stroll, you are a clown for letting your son continue to drive from the team. And Lance Stroll, you are delusional if you think the only reason you haven't had a drive for the last 10 years is because of your skill. Think about this for a minute. There are other paid drivers on the grid. Nicholas Latifi, no longer on the grid, but was. Logan Sargeant, clearly, is a paid driver who's not, also not worthy of being on the grid. Besides that, some benefactor is paying Williams a lot of money to get him in that seat. But the difference, and I heard somebody else make this point today, literally on the Missed Apex podcast, is most of these paid drivers, Mazepan, who was the guy who was in the Haas for a while, etc. Most of these guys get 1, 2, maybe 3 years. Even a Mick Schumacher as a huge name, but again, a bit of a pay driver. Lower-end teams accept pay drivers, and those pay drivers basically are paying for their spot for 1, 2, 3 seasons. Lance Stroll's been doing this for 10 years. His dad was a major benefactor in one team, and then his dad literally bought and rebranded the Aston Martin team, brought in a washed-up Sebastian Vettel to make his son look better. I think tried to do the same with Fernando Alonso. The thing with Alonso is, at 43 years old, P.S. Lewis is not the oldest guy on the grid, said that earlier. Alonso is. Alonso is wiping the floor over and over and over and over and over again with Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll's crashing out, costing money, and none of it matters because his dad owns the team. And listen, I get it. Whether it's Little League Baseball or high school football or freaking Formula Billionaire One, if your dad or your mom or whoever is in a great spot, good for you. But the only sport where you can really buy access as a pro at the height of the sport is something like Formula One, something like motor racing, where the actual skill of the human is only a piece of the equation, right? Like Michael Jordan's sons don't play in the NBA. Michael Jordan owned a team, right? Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. Michael Jordan is a billionaire. All those things are true, and he's not the only person ever to do that. He actually also happens to be somebody who played in the league, and obviously was, for most people, the greatest person to ever play in the league. But his kids weren't good enough. And in a sport like basketball, you can't buy your kid away in the league. Now, the closest thing we might see, potentially, at least from a high impact current player having enough sway to get their kid in the league, even if the kid might be borderline. Could be this whole Bronny James thing. Doesn't mean Bronny James isn't good enough to make the league on his own. It just means that a lot of people are going to say, if he makes the league or if he gets to play with LeBron, et cetera, that his dad orchestrated that. And that's totally fine. And that, but like Bronny is good enough to be an NBA prospect. Bronny is good enough. It sounds like his younger brother is even better to at least be in the conversation. And with the auto driving, you know, with the motorsports, it's kind of the same thing. But here's the difference. Bronny James is not going to get a 10-year run in the NBA by virtue of his dad being LeBron and having enough sway maybe next year to get his kid in the league or to help his kid get in the league. If Bronny has a 10-year career, it's because Bronny has earned it once he's in. Lance Stroll continues to have a spot on the grid because his dad literally owns the team and is literally willing to put in the spot. And that would be more like Michael Jordan saying to his son who is engaged or not to Larsa Pippen, which is a whole other podcast, oh, hey, no, you, Marcus, you can just play in the league, no problem. You can just play on the Bulls. You can just play on the Charlotte Hornets, no problem. I'm just going to keep buying you a spot on the team. What? No, that's the difference. And there's plenty of nepotism, if you will, in Formula One, right? Kevin Magnussen's father was a driver. Max's father, I believe, and mother were both motorsport drivers. And Max's dad, Yost, was an average, if not below average, potentially driver in Formula One. Michael Schumacher's son, Mick Schumacher. But Mick lost his drive, right? He lost his spot on a team because he wasn't good enough, right? K-Mag has been in and out of the sport because intermittently, he's been good enough or not. Lance has never had to worry about a seat, and that's the difference. And until Lawrence Stroll sees the truth, despite all the money he's made and being a great businessman and being plugged in, and if he cared enough about this podcast, he could have it shut down and probably have me deported to Antarctica within 5 minutes. You're still a clown and you're still dumb for letting your son drive that car when there's plenty of great drivers who want it. Constructors' Championship, where are we at? Well, by the way, well, forget that. I'm gonna look at the Constructors' Championship real quick here. Great radio, I know. The Constructors, we're looking at Red Bull, 44 points ahead of Ferrari. Ferrari is 56 points ahead of McLaren. So Ferrari is the clear second best car. McLaren the third best car, clearly. At 96 points. Mercedes scraping their way into fourth at 52 points, a distant fourth, and only 12 points behind them is the Aston Martin. And then 33 points behind Aston Martin in fifth is RB, Visa Capash, Red Bull Jr. in sixth with 7 whole points. Haas has 5 whole points. Williams, Alpine, Kicksalber, goose egg. So again, the Red Bull doesn't seem quite as dominant as last year. The Ferrari seems a little bit more reliable. The McLaren is out of the gates quicker. The Aston Martin has regressed. The Mercedes has regressed. And the driver standings reflect that. Verstappen first. Checo second. Leclerc third. Sainz fourth. So that's Red Bull, Ferrari. And then Lando is in fifth. McLaren. Teammate Oscar Piastri in sixth. McLaren. And then it's George Russell. Then it's Fernando Alonso, then it's Lewis Hamilton, and then it's Lawrence Stroll. So the Mercedes Aston Martin is a little bit more flip-floppy, and then you get into the rest of the field. And in 12th place still is Ferrari's reserve driver, Ollie Bearman, who drove one race, has 6 points, and is 12th in the standings with 9 drivers below him, including Logan Sargeant, including Danny Ric, who had some really bad luck yesterday. He finally had it going over his teammate Yuki Tsunoda. And somehow finds a way to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and letting the inexplicably still on the grid Lance Stroll crash into his diffuser and ruin his race. Formula One feast. It's the F1 feast. The Chinese Grand Prix from the Filibuster Freestyle. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.